course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. Can't complain. You know, it's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Sure.
I got a little bit of sunburn from the weekend, but otherwise I'm doing good.
Yeah, well, you know, sunburn is usually a result of good times, so can't complain. But this is our 150th episode. Ike, can you believe it? We made it 150 episodes. That's something.
It
I guess.
is. That's a lot of episodes. It's a lot. That's,
Sure
I
is.
mean, especially for people to listen to us continue to talk. I mean,
that's right. Well, I don't know what they say. Like, what is it? Most podcasts peter out like within 10 or no more than 10 or something like that. So we've gone 150. Only missed 1 week in that time. You know, so we've had a pretty good track record. I'm pretty happy with that. So, yeah, 150 episodes. And for the 150th, we are reviewing Fear Street Prom Queen. That's coming up in a little bit. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else?
Let's see. I finished Last of Us Season 2. Pretty solid. That's kind of – actually, that's one of my hot takes about today, so I won't say anymore. That was pretty stellar. And the other thing I watched was Good American Family. It's like a it's more like a crime thriller type thing. It's about the real story of a girl named Natalia Grace, who's she gets adopted by a family and some pretty kooky shit happens. But it has Mark Duplass in it as one of the main characters. So
yeah.
Obviously, I gotta watch it. I mean, come on, it's Mark Duplass. And he
That's
did
right.
appear in his underwear at least once. So
our friend from the Creep and Creep Tapes, there you go.
That's right.
Quite the guy. Looking forward to that. We know Creep Tapes is getting a second season. We talked about that a few episodes ago. So excited about that. I only watched one thing, and that was The Surrender, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. But I did watch that. But more on that in a little bit. So then let's just go ahead then and dive into our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And we're diving headfirst into Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy slasher, a low-budget slasher, a kind of under-the-radar movie that maybe not everybody has seen. And this week, we present to you the movie Braindead. It was released in a limited theatrical run on March 20th, 2009, and then released on DVD on October 12th, 2010. Written by Dale Gyllenhaal, directed by Kevin Tenney, starring Joshua Benton, Michelle Tomlinson, David Crane, and others, the movie is described as, when a meteor strikes a man on the head, alien slugs take over his brain and turn him into a ravenous zombie. Now, if you read the expanded description, there's stuff about nuns and all kinds of stuff. It is apparently a wacky movie. I've not seen it. It is not that well received, but that's what we come to expect here with the cheesy slasher segment. It is a pretty off the wall apparent movie, and there are several movies called Braindead. Of course, it's not that original title. So Ike, have you seen Braindead from this 2009-2010 time period?
So I have not, but I have a Tubi account, and Tubi will recommend movies to me based on my past viewing. So this has been recommended to me by Tubi. I have seen this movie before on there. I just have never actually sat and watched it. So I don't know if recommending me that movie is some sort of indication of the films I'm watching
Yeah,
here.
that's yeah, that may not be that might not be a high indicator of what you've been watching. But that's okay, right? That's what it's all about. Just having a little fun. Come on, these are horror movies, man. They're not meant to be taken seriously. They're all just a little bit cheesy. Even, I mean, come on. You hold in a high esteem, the Friday the 13th, the Nightmares, the Halloweens, et cetera. Come on. Those aren't cheesy. Let's get right to it. Horror as an overall kind of theme is a little bit cheesy. So, and I mean that with all the love in my heart in a good way. So, all right then. So, there's the assignment for everybody. Watch Brain Dead, this version from 2009 or 2010, depending on how it comes up. That's everyone's assignment. Watch that before, whenever. Just watch it. So, let's move on then to the next segment.
Talk to us, Internet.
And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where I can I either respond to listener feedback on the Internet, or we pick up on something off social media and want to discuss it. And discussing in the vein of Fear Street, which obviously is based on a series of books by R.L. Stein. We have spoken in the past many times about Goosebumps, also written by R.L. Stein. We present to you the question of the day: what was your gateway to horror as a child? I'll let you go first because I think you said it before. I think I think I pretty much kind of maybe covered your gateway based on what you said before.
Yeah, no, so it was a few things. I think Goosebumps was one of my favorite things that I watched as a kid that really kind of introduced me into the idea of horror. There were a couple of other ones, like the Are You Afraid of the Dark series. I think I mostly caught that on reruns. There was another series when I was young. I cannot remember what it was. I had a VHS tape, VHS tape. Good Lord. Whew. And there was it was about a turkey, and it was like a Franken turkey kind of thing.
There you go.
So, it was similar to Goosebumps, but I remember it had Linda Cardellini in it, as a teenager. It was one of her first credits ever.
Okay.
So, I would say that, Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark? All of that was probably what I was introduced to horror to. But then, of course, I actually got to watch horror movies, and probably Halloween 1970 was one of the first movies. I think that was the first actual horror movie I ever got to watch as the TV edit, of course, when I was younger.
Yes, and then I mean my story is it's weird. It's I mean I guess it's, you say it's different, but it's similar, right? It's just kind of as we call another segment, right? That generation gap. I'm introduced to horror by watching the local horror host when I grew up in Indiana was Sammy Terry, and on watching his show. And of course, the movies he's showing are not—they're not, in hindsight, not that scary, not that graphic. But to a to a young child, they're scary enough. And to be frank, Sammy Terry was scary to a child. But watching watching him and watching these B movies that he would show on his horror host show and seeing him at events in Indiana, because he was all over the place in parades and all kinds of events. Kind of sparked that interest, which led to, going to the school library and finding the Crestwood books, which, if you don't know what those are, you can Google those. They were very, very prominent for me as a child. They were these, elementary school aged books that were on pretty much any of the classic, any classic horror character villain, right? There was from King Kong to Dracula to Frankenstein. They were all kinds of things in between. They were all out there, and I would, check those out endlessly and read them and see the pictures from the movies. And then, as you go into the VHS age, in the video stores, just renting stuff, just going to that horror section and renting something that looked cool. And, I don't know. And those, in those times, parents didn't worry a lot about what you were. They just like, okay, whatever, you know. And and then getting as cable came into being, you know, and getting to see some of those same concepts, seeing some of those movies on cable, you know, HBO and Cinemax, and those early movie channels, Showtime, those early movie channels, and seeing some things there. You know, it's just this, you know, development of finding things. You know, and of course, then there was magazines, you know, Fangoria, you know, Famous Monsters of Filmland, caught the tail end of that, different things like that. So it's just weird, right? You know, whatever sparks your interest, you're gonna seek out, and you're gonna find whatever you can about it. And it's like you know, you have this hunger for it, right? And you find anything related, and you're just out there doing it. That's what it was, right? I think that's universal, no matter when it is, right? You see something sparks your interest, you're like, oh, I want more of that. So you're going to look for whatever it may be, books and magazines and movies and TV shows and or cartoons or, you know, toys or anything that fits into that realm. You know, you're it's you your interest is going to be drawn to that. And it just leads, you know, to building up to whatever, becoming a horror fan. Everybody's got their origin stories. And I think it's fairly probably similar for most, right? There's always been tame horror for people to get into it, right? Whether it be R.L. Stine type stuff, or the Universal stuff when I was a kid, or I don't even know what it is today, but whatever. I mean, you know, there's always something that's a little tamer, a little milder, to kind of spark that interest. And then as you grow, you kind of, it's like you level up, and you know, and let's be real, we all snuck and watched something probably over our what we should have been watching.
For sure.
I mean, come on, everybody did that. And So yeah, I while the medias might be different, I think the journey is pretty similar for people. Into not only horror, but pretty much anything I think you like. It's kind of how it goes. You know, something catches your eye, and there it goes. You go down the rabbit hole. And but that you know, and I just implore people that, you know what, never lose that zest or something new. You know, I'm always discovering something that catches my interest a little more, and I go down those rabbit holes all the time. And you know, I think it's a fun thing to do. It's you know, to dive deep into something that sparks your attention. And maybe not to my level. I'm OCD. I'm a little obsessive about this stuff. But you know, if you see something you like, you know, explore it to whatever you want to do and whatever you're comfortable with. So, and
That's
you know,
absolutely true.
that's right. Have fun, and then develop your level, and find what you enjoy, you're comfortable with, and which parts you like. And that's, you know, I don't know. Don't compare your fandom to other people's fandoms, because that's not what it's all about. Just you do you, and have fun with it. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, because that leads us to the gatekeeping rabbit hole, which we fall trapped to so many times here, and on the show. And I'm not doing that again. So let's we'll cap it there, and let's move on to the next segment.
Horror hot take.
And this week we are going to present to you another horror hot take. This is where an ideal, an opinion, whatever it may be, is presented to you that may be a quote unquote hot take, kind of a strong opinion on something. So Ike has one queued up for us. Ike, what is your hot take for this episode?
Absolutely. So I'm going to try and keep this as spoiler-free as possible because this does have to do with The Last of Us Season 2.
Yeah,
So
keep it spoiler
recently,
free. I've not watched it yet.
he's not watching it. So, you know, I've seen The Last of Us. I have played both Last of Us games. I have read extended lore on The Last of Us because there was a comic book series of The Last of Us when the first one came out. I have consumed essentially all essential media as it pertains to The Last of Us. And for anybody who because there's a lot of people out there who are claiming that, well, first of all, this is a side note, but I just gotta say it. Everybody who complains about the casting of Ellie is just stupid. I hate it so much when they complain about who they casted as Ellie, because I mean, at the end of the day, it truly does not matter. I mean, I'm not going to say that Bella Ramsey looks exactly like Ellie from the video games. She doesn't, but neither does Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal does not look exactly like Joel from the games. And if we're basing it solely on lookalikes, 90% of the people they cast aren't exact. I feel like people played these games and the games were so cinematic by themselves that they were really expecting them to just cast like the voice actors and like the people who stood in for their like roles to be these actors. So I just, I don't know. I just feel it, like
it's gotten a little extreme, because I've literally seen online and on social media, people, you know, calling her quote unquote the most hated actor in modern times. And I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, dude, we're taking things a bit too seriously. And I'm passionate, but that's a little, come on.
It really is. And I do think that there are some valid criticisms that can be made. You know, there are some valid things that you can make about The Last of Us TV show. But the thing that really pisses me off about what's been going on, and I suppose this is my hot take, for anybody who basically just hated the season two or picked apart all these nuances or picked apart these things, did not play the games. I just simply speaking. And if they did play the games, 99% of their criticisms are rooted in some unjustified hate of Bella Ramsey, because you can hate the fact that she was cast, but Bella Ramsey, for instance, is a fantastic actress. So there's this weird cacophony of people who are online who are shitting on the show, who I guarantee probably did not watch past episode two. And I mean, there are parts of the show, season one and two, that they changed from the video games, right? And that's going to happen, because there's no perfect way to adapt a video game. They have to change some things for it to make sense on screen, because video games have this fantastic thing called being interactive. And unfortunately, you can't make a TV show interactive. So because that you're changing modes and mediums of presentation, you really have to make changes to how you present the content. And because of that, people have a hard time accepting that, and then they say it's bad. But it's not bad, it's just slightly different. And I've not heard a justified argument on why the season two is so bad. It's always people saying, I don't like how Bella Ramsey looks. I don't like how the actress who plays Abby looks. It's her name's Caitlin Dever. I don't like how this person looks. It's all about looks. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. These are all fantastic actors and actresses who have established repertoires. They have the necessary chops to do these roles, that people just, they bitch and moan so much because they don't look exactly like these characters. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. But that's my hot take, is if you are bitching and moaning so much about this, you either have zero critical thinking skills, zero media literacy, or you have never played the game in your life and you are just throwing baseless accusations and assumptions at this because you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to comment a lot. Like I said, I've not seen it, but it's the same old song and dance with pick your genre, pick your whatever your whatever I'm trying to say, your media of choice, your TV show, movie, whatever it might be. There are people that are out there, and all they want to do is complain. They're going to complain no matter what. They're not open. You know, I don't know, whatever. I guess they call them trolls. I guess they're a little beyond that to me. But there's just, I don't know, man. I mean, if your whole existence is just completely cutting down everything, and you you find no joy in any of this, then I don't know. I mean, we've talked about in the past. I don't know why you're a fan. I don't understand. You, whatever. I don't get it. I don't understand people like that. I have many things that I like that I'm fans of. I don't like every single thing within the realm of the universe per se, and that's okay. I understand that there's certain things, certain takes, certain whatevers that maybe is not, you know, maybe not for me. That's okay. I don't care. I'll just, you know what? I'll just stick to the part that I like and not worry about the rest. If that's the case, you know, why? I don't get it. It's, fandoms become weird. It's just so fucking weird and so toxic. It's just, I just want to just fucking punch people. It's like, man, I mean, if you like something great, go out there and praise it and everything else. And if you don't like something, what? Yeah, you can voice your opinion, but the people that do that about everything, it's like, okay, what are you a fan of then? It's like, there's just some people just, I don't know, whatever. Must have sorry existences if that's all they want to do is complain about everything. So
I agreed.
I pity those fools. So all right then, we're not gonna dive too far into that because that gets us. Whew, we get sidetracked so bad about assholes like that and you know gatekeeping and the bad attitudes. We really get distracted. So let's try not. You know, we don't want anybody complaining that you know we have opinions and then we you know we get sidetracked. We don't want anybody to wait too long for the review today. Yeah, that's right. I'm still harping on that. But so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and we got a bunch of them. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off here, we have The Surrender is now on Shudder and is described as when the family patriarch dies, a grieving mother and daughter risk their lives to perform a brutal resurrection ritual and bring him back from the dead. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I think we talked about it a little bit last week because that does sound very familiar. And I think we kind of talked about how we're very curious about the brutal resurrection ritual.
I'm no longer curious. I've seen it, so. But I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, we did. This was in the upcoming movies last week. But since we've decided to review this next week, I thought we should throw it in there again, under the news. So, but yeah, it's I'm not going to say anything. It's I'll save it for next week. But yeah, it's on Shudder. No excuse for anybody not to give it a watch before we review it next week.
That's right. Unless you don't have Shudder or AMC Plus, which I feel sorry for you. yeah. Moving on to our next one here. Until Dawn is now available on video on demand. Won't dive into this too much because we do have a full review of this. If you haven't been paying attention, mm-hmm. We have a full review of Until Dawn. Generally positive reviews, but if you haven't seen it in theaters, you can check it out on video on demand. And moving on to our all three Maniac Cop movies have novelizations now available. You can buy them individually or in a collected edition. I have a feeling that Dave has got this primed and ready to be sent to his house as soon as possible.
Sure do. I want this so bad. You forget the individual. I want the collected with all three. Not only that, but not only has Dave got this primed order, right? Because I want the hardback collected edition. But Dave has already reached out, like, and they are going to send us PDF version of this for us to review and have a look at. Wow. I've reached out to the publisher. And they were excited that we reached out. And like a lot of them do now, you know, they send PDFs for review purposes. But they are, I haven't received it yet because it's just all developed today as of recording. But they are sending us a PDF version for us to review and look at. So once I get that, I will send you a copy. And whenever that may be in the next episode or two, we'll speak on it a little bit. I'm not saying we'll have read it all, but we'll have at least skimmed it and, you know, taken a look. We'll have some of thoughts on that. I love Maniac Cop. I love the trilogy. The first movie is great. But I just love them all. They're such fun movies. I just love them. I love them. They're some of my comfort horror movies. So I'm super psyched. And this just kind of came out of left field. I can't even believe this is happening. It seems very peculiar. When I saw this, I was like, holy shit, where's this coming from? But I'm super happy. I love it. Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I hadn't heard anything about this. So very, very much a little bit about out of left field. But, you know, hey, novelizations are great. I think it's a great way to expand upon lore, perhaps fill in some gaps where gaps are. I know that the Terrifier series has them. And this used to be a huge thing back in the day. I know we've talked about that before, but, you know, I feel like every movie got novelizations. So it's cool to see, you know, an old movie getting some respect. And I'm excited. Yeah. Can't wait to read it.
Yeah, I did. When I was a kid, I mean, like every movie had a novelization. I mean, all your big movies, right? I'm not even saying just big. So many movies had novelizations. And it was just a thing, right? And you would read the novelizations. And like you said, right, there would be a little more. There's a little things in there. And I love it. I'm a book guy. I have more books. God, more books than I can ever read. I just can't keep up, and that's okay. I'm always buying more and more and more. And that's because they keep putting out cool shit like this. And I'm a sucker. I've already seeked it out on Amazon to put it in my cart, and it's sitting there. I haven't, you know, I've been busy, haven't got to move forward. But like I said, I snagged us some review copies. So more intel on that coming up.
There you go. Very, very good. But we're going to go ahead and move on from our news now to some upcoming birthdays. Man, we got a lot of these here. May 30th, 1964, Mark Shepard, of course, known as his role as Crowley in Supernatural. Mark Shepard's great. You know, he had a little bit of a scare not too long ago. He had a heart attack. And I hear he's doing pretty good, though. And he's, back in the saddle, if you will.
Yeah. And, Mark Shepard's one of those guys, right? We say Supernatural, right? Because that's what we most know him for. Maybe probably what most people know him for, honestly. But if you really go through his IMDb and his appearance, dude has been in fucking everything. The dude has been in X-Files. He's been in Firefly. He's been, I don't even know what else. Just look through it. It's remarkable the shit that Mark Shepard's been in. It's just crazy. I just happened upon and rewatched his X-Files, not even knowing it, but his X-Files episode not too long ago. And he was so young. It was so funny looking. He just had a baby face. But, I mean, dude has done so much. I mean, like I said, X-Files, I mean, it's like, you know, he was, what was his name in Firefly? I can't think of it now. It was a weird name. Can't think of it.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I want to say, Badger. I think it was Badger, I think. You can confirm that for me, but I believe his name was Badger. He was very good in Firefly. And it's like, I remembered him from it, but I didn't put two and two together in Supernatural until I kind of dove down a rabbit hole and looked at him. I'm like, holy shit, that's him. And,
you are correct. It is Badger.
Yeah. It's crazy. Of course, right. He's Crowley. Fucking he's Crowley. He's the king of hell, but he's done so much more. I urge everybody to look at his full body of work, because he's a master.
There you go. The master at work. Happy birthday, Mark Shepard. And another master at their work, June 1st, 1977, Danielle Harris, known for her role in Halloween 4 and 5 as Jamie. She also had a role in the 1 and 2 remake of Halloween with Rob Zombie, which we don't talk about.
I think she was Andy in that one, she?
I think so. And, she was also, of course, in Scream and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, she's done a lot of stuff, right? Yeah, I mean, but I mean, dear to our hearts is that Halloween, right? We talk about it, right? Four and five, that the Mark stuff, we think's a little unheralded, and she, of course, very key to that. So, yeah, she's pretty cool. Does a lot of conventions. She had a podcast. I'm assuming she still does. I don't know. Her and someone else, I can't remember who the other person was. Whoever the person is that does played Lori in the new Halloweens. I'm not sure what her, can't
Oh,
remember.
is this Scout Taylor
Yeah,
Compton?
Scout. Yeah. They had a podcast together. I'm assuming they still do. I'm not sure. I don't listen, but she's very cool, very invested in the horror genre, and gotta love that. Gotta respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very similar to a lot of the other OGs, if you will, from the horror genre. They stick with it, and that's admirable. So, happy birthday, Danielle. And we're going to move on to June 2nd, 1978. Justin Long. Justin Long has a, no pun intended, long history of doing horror films. He's been in a lot of great stuff. Some of the more memorable ones, of course, Jeepers Creepers, Drag Me to Hell. But he was more recently in things like Tusk, and he was in It's a Wonderful Knife, had a very uncanny looking face. Same thing with the Barbarian. I mean, so much good stuff. He's been in so much.
Sure has, and I can watch Justin Long tie just I can watch him all day get hit with a
Yeah.
dodgeball because of course he was in Dodgeball, and I always love I love the fact that he's such a great physical comedic actor, such a great physical actor that they literally put a montage as a special feature of just all the shots that they shot of him getting hit by a dodgeball on that, or a wrench, or whatever it might be. He's great. But yeah, I mean, I love Justin Long. Everything he's in, I love him at least. And to me, he was one of one of the reasons that the first Jeepers Creepers really clicked and really worked. It was because of him.
Absolutely. Justin Long is he's a master of his craft. I mean, I think all three of these people are masters of their craft. But yeah, absolutely. He's fantastic. I love him in Dodgeball. I think Dodgeball is one of the most underrated like comedies of all time, perhaps.
My God, I
But
mean, I laugh as hard. If I see, I haven't watched it in a while, which is weird, but if I see a clip or see something, I laugh as hard as when I first watched it. It's such a fucking funny movie.
absolutely.
Maybe it's the adolescent humor that I sometimes have, but it's funny.
I was gonna say it's that's all right. It's all right. But all right, we're gonna move on to our last birthday for this week. We have June 3rd, 1950. We have Robert Zadar, known of course for his role in Maniac Cop. He is the fellow that has the condition where he has the jawbone's a little more pronounced, and yeah, I mean he's a very interesting looking guy, but he's also a very talented actor, that is for sure.
I mean, he's no longer with us, but I think he passed fairly recently. I don't think it's been too long ago, but
Looks like 2015, so that would
oh,
be
okay. I guess
10 years
okay.
ago.
Yeah, a little longer than I thought then, I guess. My bad. But it is so surreal to me, though, that here's this guy that, under normal circumstances, most people would point and say that he has a handicap, quote unquote, a handicap.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who said, fuck you. It's not a handicap. I'm going to turn this fucking shit and I'm going to have a great fucking acting career. And he did. And, I mean, it blew my mind when I first heard and discovered that Maniac Cop, that was him. There was no prosthetics or it just blew my mind. It was unbelievable. But again, we've already we spoke about the Maniac Cop earlier. One of those guys that I would have loved to have met, man. I really would have loved to have met because I so love these movies, and the big a big 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 part of it is because of him. He was so perfect in them. Not just because of the physical stuff. He was just talented. He was great in it.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, he has a very unique look, and I mean this kindly. There will never be anybody who will look exactly like him with as little effort as he does. That is an absolute fact.
Yeah.
But all right, happy birthday and in memory to Robert Zadar. We're going to move on now to our upcoming movie anniversaries. Here is where it gets a little funky. Starting
some good
strong.
Ones out.
True. May 29, 2009, we have Drag Me to Hell. We got Justin Long up in this bitch again. And yeah, I mean, that's a great movie. This is actually, yeah. Kayla's never seen this one, so I need to put this on her list of movies to watch.
Yeah. Good movie. Yep. So I feel like, man, we got so many of these, we got to keep it moving here. Woo!
Right. We got to rock and roll.
This is a big list.
We're going to move on to one of Dave's favorite movies, May 30th, 2003. Wrong Turn. He doesn't hate this one as much as Cabin Fever, but he doesn't love this movie.
No, I don't love it, but no, fuck no, it's nowhere near Cabin in the Woods, but no. The original Wrong Turn, it's okay.
I just like the scene where the guy's sitting out front drinking the Pepto straight from the bottle.
We've all been there.
May 30th, 2008, The Strangers.
Oh.
We love this movie. We talk about this movie incessantly. Oh, my God.
Oh. Scared the piss out of me. Legit made me sleep with the lights on as an adult. Not afraid to admit it.
Absolutely. Will still probably scare me enough to do that now that
Absolutely.
I live in my own house.
So fucking, I mean, seriously, just that fucking, why are you doing this or whatever they said. And there's like, because you were home. I'm like, fucking, fuck that, man. That's evil, man. No reason. You were there. You answered the, that's fucking, oh. That'll always scare the shit because what's more evil than just evil for evil's sake? That's boom.
Absolutely.
Gives me chills just thinking of it.
I was gonna say we're gonna scare ourselves and we'll have to sleep with the lights on.
That's right. That's right.
All right, May 31st, 2019, we have Ma. This is a fantastic one. I remember seeing this way back when. Octavia Spencer is amazing, just in general, but she was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, this is one that I. It's like I thought it'd be okay, but man, it. I mean, it exceeded even what I thought. It was fucking creepy. It was real. I mean, in all ways. I mean, if you've not seen this, shame on you. You got to see it.
No, absolutely, 1,000%. Moving on now to a very much contested film, May 31st, 2024. In a Violent Nature. Can't believe it's already been a year. We have a full review in the archives, plus an interview with star Ryan. Who, of course, plays the main villain, Johnny, in the film. Rye Barrett was a absolute pleasure to speak to. He was a real gentleman and scholar. He really, 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 talked to us and took time out of his day. I think he was filming a movie, and it was like a late night, and we were able to get a hold of him, and or an early morning, one of the two, and we were able to get an interview, and fantastic. I love the movie. Love Rye Barrett. Can't say enough.
Yeah, it's, I mean... Again, yeah, like you said, it's a divisive movie, but it's original. It's a different take. And again, whatever you want to say about it, fucking one of the greatest on-screen kills of all time in this movie. So it is worth the watch just for that one kill alone.
1,000%. Would agree. Moving on to June 2nd, 2023. The Boogeyman. We have a review of this in the archives. This is a Sophie Thatcher film. She was in this, of course, and as well as other people like David Desmalchian and others. But Boogeyman was decent. I think it got pretty general reviews from us. It wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad. It was a good little watch.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I, from what I can remember of it, I thought it was pretty good. It was one of those middle of the ground. Not horrible, not great, but not a. One of those, I'm ashamed I watched that kind of deals.
Right. I've had a few of those. So. All right. We're going to move on now to June 3rd, 1983, Psycho 2, Electric Boogaloo. Just kidding. No Electric Boogaloo. But I recently watched this one. I remember Dave and I kept talking about it, and I was like, I need to really sit down and watch it. And Psycho 2 is really, really good.
It's solid. I'm telling you. Psycho is a great movie, but I'm telling you, Psycho 2, pretty strong follow-up. It's, I like it. I dig it. It might actually, man, some people probably stake me for this. It might be a little more entertaining than the first one.
I was gonna say I would say that I think Psycho 1 is still more important culturally and like you know in terms of like the whole the horror zeitgeist, but like Psycho 2 in my opinion is better. Just it is more entertaining.
Well, yeah, and you gotta know? Think there's a time difference, right? I mean,
right.
I'm gonna be square. I mean, Psycho 2, 1983, that falls right in my wheelhouse. That's the kind of movie I like. That time period. So that's got that going for me. Now I love Psycho. Don't get me wrong, but there's a gap, right? There's a gap there in those movies, and I'm gonna be frank, man. I know some of them get some shit. I like the whole Psycho franchise more or less. They really did some shit, and I think it's a pretty good overall story. So
yeah, absolutely. They get a little funky, but you know it's still a fun time.
That's right.
But very good. We're going to move on now to June 4th, 1982, Poltergeist, the original.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen this, but it's a very good movie. It's directed by Tobe Hooper and written by Steven Spielberg. So that alone just puts it into legendary status. Great movie. It's been remade. It has like a billion sequels and shit, but the original still sticks out to me.
Yeah. The original is the best. I'm telling you. One of those movies that to me didn't need remade. Just I just don't, man. If a movie's that good to begin with, don't bother. Just don't. You don't need to. You're not going to improve upon it. No, that's you know what. No disrespect, but come on. The original's so good. Just let it be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would agree. But moving on now to June 4th, 2010, Splice.
Oof.
This was a weird one. It's fucking good.
Creepy.
But it's creepy.
It is. Yeah, this is a creepy-ass movie.
Yeah, it's if I remember correctly, they're, like, scientists, and they basically, like, use, like, gene splicing or some similar thing, and they make, like, a human hybrid animal
weird
hybrid
shit,
type
yes.
thing.
Like, it's, man, life's been expressed in so many movies over time. Man shouldn't play God like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. What's the line from Jurassic Park?
Yeah,
life will find a way.
Find a way. Good movie. It's a good movie though, but it's very creepy.
Yes, absolutely. But very good. Moving on to June 4th, our last one here, 2021. We have The Conjuring: The Devil Made Me Do It. This one was a good movie, perhaps. Not the best of the Conjuring movies, just because the other movies were just so dynamic. This came out in 2021, which meant that they filmed during COVID. So I strongly suggest that that is probably a big reason why it was not as large and in charge as the other movies. But it is timely because we have our other, the new Conjuring movie coming out in the very near future.
Yeah, it's, this was, you know, it was okay, right? I mean, again, I like all the Conjuring movies of varying degrees. This was not one of my favorites. But I will say this. Seeing that one, I don't know. Maybe it makes the new one, what is it called? Last Rites? Is that what it's called, I think? If I'm remembering right? When I saw that trailer, I don't know. Maybe that even made it seem all the better to me. But the upcoming one just looks incredible. And I'm super excited. And, you know, I don't want to put down The Devil Made Me Do It. It's okay. It's an okay movie, just not one of my favorite of the Conjuring line.
There you go. So very good. Check
man,
out
we
that
plowed right through that, didn't we?
We did. That was a hell of a movie anniversary week. Sometimes it's like one or two, and this week it was like 20.
That's right. You can't. And I mean, what could you cut out of that? It's like I'm sitting there thinking, God, this is a lot. But it's like, what are you going to drop? These are all pretty good movies.
They're all very relevant, you know what I mean, to what our tastes are and the movies that we reviewed. You know, gotta shop those out, man.
I mean, I totally sit down and watch that. You know, from Drag Me to Hell through The Conjuring, Devil Made Me Do It, and all those in between. That's a hell of a little movie. What do you call it? I don't know the words I'm thinking. I mean, that's a marathon there. I'd watch all that.
It is. It's a good what do they call it when you sit down and watch a bunch of movies or TV shows.
Like a binge or something, man. That's that's you're all over the place. You're getting a little bit of everything in that one.
You really are. But, All right, moving on to our one upcoming release. This only one, guys. Don't worry. Sinners is coming to video on demand on June 3rd. Sinners was probably one of the best horror films of the year so far. If you have not seen it, watch it.
So fucking good. It is. Ah, man. I just can't. I loved it. And it's like, just thinking back, I mean, I just appreciate it all the more. And it's like, I'm now hearing this, I'm like, man, I can't, I just can't wait to watch it again. I don't, whatever. Just flowers to everybody involved.
Amen. But, all right. That does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. Woo, were going to take a quick breather.
Catch our breath and get a drink.
That's right. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Fear Street Prom Queen.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right. We're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Fear Street Prom Queen, written by Matt Palmer and Donald McCleary, based on a book by R.L. Stine, directed by Matt Palmer, starring India Fowler, Susanna Sun, Vina Straza, and others. It was released May 23rd, 2025 on Netflix. Is this the fourth Fear Street movie, right? We had a trilogy before.
Yep.
And again, I'm not super familiar with the Fear Street books, but from what I have read, seen, whatever online, this one is, I'm not saying sticking, it's a little more in line with the books a little bit, right? It's a little more derivative. Wasn't there actually a Fear Street Prom Queen book by R.L. Stine, from what I'm gathering?
Yeah, there was. I've never read it, but there was.
Yeah, I'm thinking there, but I would think, here we go. This is, again, this is going to be a quick review, right? Because we're spoiler free. And we've talked about them in the past. I don't know what we've reviewed. I can't remember. But we've at least spoke of probably all three of the previous ones. And these are all enjoyable because they're just fun horror movies. They're not trying to be highbrow. They're not trying to be anything that they're not. They're just fun horror movies. Now, if you're one of those people that sit here and want to think, oh, it's based on an R.L. Stine book, that might be maybe not my thing. It might be a little, a little too tame for me. Dude, I'm telling you, it's based on a book by R.L. Stine. I think they've upped the ante here. And again, I've not read the book, but I will say that Prom Queen had some kick-ass kills. There's plenty of blood and guts. There's plenty of that slasher stuff in there. Don't think this is some kind of, like we spoke of earlier, just some kind of gateway horror movie meant for some, tweens to get involved in horror. No, this is there. And I think the best thing that all these Fear Street movies have done is they very much just have a very natural humor about them. We've talked before about horror movies that have humor, and you fall in two realms typically, right? One, that the humor's natural. It just fits in with the movie. It just flows. It feels like the characters, that's just part of them, or the part where they just try to force humor in. And this felt just very natural amongst the characters. And it very much felt like fucking high school. The 80s high school was a little before me, not much, but, it very much felt like high school at that time, right? It was It was what it was. These movies just really are very, very solid period pieces because they don't feel fake. They really feel like a slice out of time. And like I said, they had some great kills, but I'm telling you flat out, they do not skimp on these fucking music for these movies. We're talking a movie based in the 80s. They didn't just think, okay, we're gonna phone it in with some 80s sounding synth stuff that just sounds 80s, but it's like, no, they brought all the shit. There's big songs from the 80s here that they went out and got the rights for it to put in this, to give it that flavor. And again, like the previous Fear Street movies and everything else, there's no redesigning the wheel here. They're not trying to reinvent anything, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. It doesn't drag. The characters are developed enough. There's enough, hints at the other Fear Street movies that it feels, cohesive in this in universe. There's stuff dropped in there. It's just fun, man. It's just a fun slasher movie. That I don't know, man. If you think this is not of your level, man, I don't know. You might want to, I don't know, get some therapy, because if you think you need more than this, and don't get me wrong, this is coming from a guy who absolutely loves the Terrifier movies, and you know, the more blood in the guts, I'm down with. Just put it in there. But this had enough of there to appease me. I'm good. It wasn't tame. It was enough there to make me happy. And I don't know. Again, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Nothing spectacular in my mind, but just a very solid, fun little watch. A good little slasher film. It felt like right in my wheelhouse. It felt like a slasher from the 80s. It was good. I liked it. I don't really have any complaints, because I felt like they knew what they were trying to achieve, and I felt like they achieved it. So, Ike, what do you think?
I think I'd have to generally agree. This movie to me basically felt like a what you would say is a love letter to 80s slasher. I think that that was R.L. Stine's intention when he wrote the Fear Street book. I think when you look at these books, it is a reflection of R.L. Stine and sort of what R.L. Stine loved to do. So having taken the book into consideration and then transitioning to the concept of this movie, you have basically what is a love story of, the magnificence of 80s slasher and blood and guts and killing and stabbing and, very foreseeable plot points, nothing that's super deep. It's very skin level, if you will, but it's enjoyable. It doesn't have to be super complex. It doesn't have to be the most terrifying thing ever. It just has to be fun, which is what I think this movie really accomplishes. I think that everybody who was in this movie was very well cast for their roles. Like I said, I've never personally read the Fear Street book for Prom Queen, so I can't really say if the characters match those descriptions, but I would say that based on what I can tell, they all did a fantastic job playing the roles that they were given. Beyond that, I would say that the big thing for me in this movie that I did kind of wish, would have been maybe a little bit different is maybe try a little harder to kind of bury the lead with the who with the killers were. I very much thought who they were was who they were. But at the same time, that predictability does have a certain charm to it. So I can't even really say that that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just I would prefer if there were a little more buried, if you will. Maybe give them a few more options about who the killers could be, versus they kind of were leaning towards the killer slash killers. You never know. So that would be my only major complaint. But at the same time, can you really make that a complaint when it's just supposed to be a fun movie? outside of that, I think that the music was really fun. I think you mentioned a little bit, but it felt straight out of an 80s horror film. It was that sort of synth music, that a little bit of the electronic to it, but it had that very, what I would say is summer of 1988 feel. And it was just a very, very fun vibe to watch the movie with. So yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else. I thought I had another point that I was going to make, but obviously my brain is like, I can't remember now. But I don't think that there are any really weak parts to this. There were some parts that weren't particularly strong, but nothing to me stands out as a specific weak moment in this movie. So I give it major props for that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, these Fear Street movies have a lot of across the board. If you're open minded enough, right?
Right.
You know, when I say this, oh, hey, this is not a gateway. It can be a gateway, right? This is a movie that can be once someone has you know, kind of ready for that next step out of some of the book type things. This is a movie, right, where there is a little blood, but it's not over the top. So yeah, you know, it kind of can be a little bit of a gateway. But again, if you're open minded enough, if you've seen enough horror, that's you can still find some enjoyment in it. You know.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, no one's gonna. I'm not gonna sit here and fool anybody that, if all things considered, if right, podcast aside, that this would be the kind of movie that I would seek out, top of my list to go see, like in a theater. It's not. But
right.
I enjoy horror enough in the broad scope that I would still want to see it.
Exactly.
In some capacity. So again, this is that we've talked about it before. This is one of those prime movies for this, a Netflix release, right? Where it's like, I can have fun watching it and not feel like I had to wait because I'm not going to go through a theater and see it. So I had to wait for it. It came out on Netflix. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it day of release, watching it because it's a Netflix thing. And I can do that, you know, sitting at home, you know, whatever, while I'm doing some work on the side or whatever. And I can turn that on and watch it. And you know, it's nice to have movies like that too. So, it was fun. Again, I liked it. I think all the Fear Street movies have kind of been that way, right? They've nothing over the top, nothing groundbreaking, but they've all been fun in their own realm. And I think there's very much a group of horror fans that these are right there for, the right age group, right level. And again, that's important. It's important that there are movies for them, even if it's not necessarily we are the prime audience for. Right. It's important to have movies like this. But again, I hope everybody will be open-minded enough to at least give it a watch and not pick it apart, not critique it. Just be open-minded to find something you like out of it, right? Is it going to hit all the buttons for you? Maybe not, but you could surely find something to like, right? It's got fucking Duran Duran in it. Why not? I mean, come on. I don't know. That might be a positive or a negative, depending on who you are. So, all right, then. Let's rate this thing. I'll rate it first. Again, I liked it. You know, I thought it was enjoyable. But, you know, I mean, again, if you're talking about pure enjoyment, this is, you know, I liked it. I don't have any qualms with it. But I am not the target audience for this. So it's like I struggle with it a little, what to rate this. But I think just because I had to be honest, and while it's going to, you know, whatever, be a mark against it, or I guess if that's even a thing for us, I'm going to have to give it kind of like a 2.5, only because, you know, it's enjoyable. There's not necessarily anything wrong with it, but it's just not, my wheelhouse stuff. I can find some things I like, but I'm not the target for it. So it's like, I don't know that it's enough there for me to give it a 3 for me personally. But again, I the 2.5 to me is not necessarily a reflection on anything they're doing wrong. It's just, you know, maybe I'm not the key demographic for this movie per se. It's a perfectly fine movie, and there is fun things to see in it. So Ike, what are you giving it?
I think unfortunately I would have to also agree that this was not necessarily made for me. This is perhaps not my wheelhouse, as I am not a teenager anymore. I'm barely in my 20s. I'm almost 30. So this is definitely meant for somebody who is a little younger than even I am. And that's not a bad thing. It's just not every movie is going to be for you. I did get a modicum of enjoyment out of this. I would perhaps not go back and watch this, you know? So I think I would probably agree. I think 2.5 is a fair assessment. It was fun, but it wasn't something that I was really like, oh yeah, hell yeah, this is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I need. It's just sort of a, yeah, it's there. You know, I didn't hate it, but I wasn't like screaming, let's watch more.
it's that weird kind of word. It's like, again, I watched it and I'm like, when I was done, I'm like, oh, that was a waste of time. It wasn't that at all. No. It was okay. You know, it didn't make me cringe, or I didn't have any moments through it where I'm like, oh, fuck, how much longer is left? It didn't like lose me per se. But I think it's just, if you've watched more horror, you know, it's not going to wow you. But again, I think if you got to be open-minded in these things, and at least, you know, give them a chance, because again, there were a few kernels here and there in this that made it enjoyable even for a seasoned horror viewer. It may not be your up on the mantle, you know, perfect movie, but you know, I still think there's some points that could find some enjoyment. There's the one character, the main character's friend was absolutely, I loved her, because I feel like as horror fans we can completely relate to her, and she was a lot of fun. But there you go. It's on Netflix, guys. Give it a watch. View it with an open mind. I don't know, maybe have a few adult beverages when you watch it to loosen up those whatever, you know, it can be fun. Just to watch. We're not, there's not a whole lot to watch right now. Let's be frank. There's a lot, you know, there's not a lot out there in theaters right now. We're not to that prime summer stuff yet. So we're taking what we can get. And this is what we got right now. But next episode, we are watching The Surrender, which we talked about earlier, is now on Shudder. It is already out. So give that a watch before we review it next episode. We'd like to say thank you to all of the wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all of your support and everything you do for us to help spread the word. And make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 and Screams, all one word, and you will find us. So before we close out, Ike, anything you want to add?
Nothing horror related. I just have to add, I've been watching baseball a lot lately. I don't know if it's because I went and saw a baseball game, but I've been watching the Cardinals play, and I was very sad to see them lose yesterday against Baltimore.
Yeah. That's but hey, they're doing all right, man. They swept the Diamondbacks. They're in second place. They're only a couple games out. If the season ended right now, they'd get a wild card spot. They're doing okay. And people wrote them off before the season started.
They did.
And I was one of those that said, "No, now come on. They've got some really exciting young talent. I think it's going to be okay." And you can all fucking eat crow if you are a baseball fan. So, and I know we got a lot of season left, and I could eat those words at the end of it. But I, you know, you cut me, and I bleed Cardinal red, and I will forever, first or last, I will, my devotion doesn't change. But regardless of anything else, they're a fun team to watch, man. They've got some great young talent. Anyway, I'm getting off on a complete tangent here, but yeah. I always encourage baseball. Baseball is such a great sport to watch. So much fun. And if you think it's boring and slow, then dude, you need to learn to appreciate life a little more and be able to slow down and enjoy those things. Cause there's baseball's just such a beautiful game. It's such a chess game between people and between athletes and seeing live baseball. There's so much more to it than the game, right? It's the experience and the smell of the grass and these cathedrals that are ball stadiums and the hot dogs and the beer. And Oh, just the organ. There's just so much. It's just, it's I could talk about baseball forever, particularly the Cardinals. So.
That is true. That's true. But hey, like I said, this isn't a baseball podcast, but I had to say it. I've been enjoying the Cardinals this year. I don't know. Like you said, they've been a fun team to watch this year. I mean, they always are, but specifically this year, I just feel like they've been just particularly fun to watch.
They are. I've always been a speed and baseball guy, right? I like fast, athletic guys that can steal bases and do things. And they've got a lot of young players that can do that right now. And I like that. They manufacture runs, as they say in baseball. And I love that kind of ball. But then they also got the guys that can fucking pound the shit out of that. So they got a good team. I'm telling you, it's a pretty good team. I've been saying that since the beginning. So, but again, anybody that was listening to this that just does not like baseball. We lost them all, but so be it. You don't bring up baseball around me without thinking I'm going to say a few words. So,
That's fair.
yeah. So I guess before we close, the only thing I'll throw is go Cards. That's all I'll say. So until next episode, when again we will be reviewing The Surrender, which is now on Shudder. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.